All right, so have any of you ever heard of Ignaz Semmelweis? Okay, you're probably thinking that you're in the wrong place because your pastor is speaking in tongues, or the busyness of the season has finally pushed me too far. The latter might be true, but I do want to talk about Ignaz Semmelweis and what he has to do with the good news of Easter. So Semmelweis was a Hungarian physician who practiced medicine in Vienna in the mid-19th century. He was an insider in the medical community in every way. He was a man, a well-trained doctor, and he worked in a field that relied on scientific evidence. But that was not enough to overcome the barriers that confront the truth. He was in charge of obstetrical training for doctors at Vienna's premier clinic, which just happened to be located next door to another obstetric clinic run by midwives. What this doctor soon discovered was that 10% of the women in his clinic were dying due to a condition they called childbed fever. Now, next door at the midwives' clinic, that number was only 3%. So Semmelweis could not understand how that could be. Midwives were looked down upon. They had far less training, and everyone knew that medical doctors were far superior. And then he had a breakthrough. A colleague cut himself while conducting an autopsy, and before long, he died of something that looked like childbed fever. It was regular practice in the 19th century for a doctor to go immediately from conducting an autopsy to delivering babies. And Semmelweis discovered what he called cadaverous particles being carried from the birthing rooms and infecting the mothers. We call that bacteria. Through his research and experimentation using tried and true scientific method, he got the doctors that he was training to wash their hands with a chlorinated solution between patients, and the death rate dropped instantly and dramatically. Now, since hand washing seems like a no-brainer to us, you can assume that Ignaz Semmelweis was soon regarded as a hero and the practice widely adopted, right? But it didn't happen like that. He published his findings, and the other physicians were offended. They thought he was accusing doctors of having dirty hands, but they were gentlemen, so that just was not true. So despite the really good evidence and the deep importance, knowing that people's lives were at stake, they dismissed Semmelweis as too far out. It then took decades for his hand-washing practice to be adopted. I tell you this story because Ignaz Semmelweis was ignored, dismissed because of what he was saying. Despite evidence to the contrary, everything he said sounded just like nonsense to his peers. And that's where our gospel reading comes in. Luke says, "When the women returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women." The news of the empty tomb struck the disciples as nonsense. This is the day we are supposed to believe the most unbelievable thing, the resurrection, that death does not ultimately get the last word, that the tomb is empty, and our Savior is risen. He is risen indeed. But it all sounds like nonsense, an idle tale, just like Semmelweis's crazy idea that somehow gentlemen doctors were carrying germs from cadavers to mothers in labor, and that hand washing could stop so many deaths. It's all just nonsense. So who are you going to believe in cases like these? Do you believe the doctor who used the scientific method to figure out what was going on and to find a solution? Do you believe the women who found the tomb empty and all the things that you remember Jesus teaching? The responsibility of these first witnesses is immense. God trusts these women with the testimony of the story of God's ultimate triumph over the power of sin and death. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, found the stone rolled away and the body of their Lord Jesus missing. Scripture tells us they didn't know what to make of this. I would say so. I think that's an understatement. The women didn't know what to make of it, and they were afraid. And then one of the gleaming men who appeared spoke and said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. The first step to understanding the empty tomb is to reflect on Jesus' teachings. That's what the angel tells the women. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee. These women have been with Jesus and his group since Galilee. Luke tells us so. The women don't know what to make of the empty tomb until they remember what Jesus said to them. He told them he must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Now, of course, when Jesus said that, no one knew what to make of it either. But now, with the empty tomb in front of them, the women remember, and they understand. The gleaming men didn't give the women instructions for what to tell the disciples. The focus instead is on Jesus' words, and taking all that Jesus had said and done and taught and relating it to his death and resurrection. The women were able to understand when they remembered what Jesus said. The disciples that first Easter morning did not believe what the women told them. They thought it was nonsense. The witness of the women was received with incredulity. These women, though, were part of the group of trusted followers, but the men simply dismissed their testimony as nonsense. At least Peter ran to the tomb to see for himself, but he still didn't understand. Neither the words of the women nor the words of Christ were enough to convince Peter or the other disciples. So who do you believe? There are two responses to discovering the empty tomb that we find in this passage. First, the women believe and are moved to testify. And then second, Peter is amazed, as their NRSV puts it. But being amazed isn't the same as having faith. When Peter returns, he has no new message to share. When he returns, he was still wondering what happened. Perhaps you came to worship today on Easter looking for proof of this story's legitimacy. But if all we do is somehow prove it true, that is not enough. If we discover the empty tomb and leave like Peter, amazed, that's great. But it's not enough. We should be moved beyond amazement. If we discover the empty tomb, believe, and like the women are moved to testify with our words and our actions, that's faith. Pastor Penn Peary writes, "Easter morning is God's clearest statement that the world is different and that those who follow in the pathway of the risen Lord are called to live differently. The good news is not something to observe. It is something that demands our response. We gather here to testify that the tomb is empty, that God has ultimately triumphed over the power of sin and death. We cannot walk away from the empty tomb as though nothing has changed." You know, each of the Gospels tells the resurrection story a little differently, but all of them tell it assuredly. None of them say, "He is risen, I think," or describe it simply as a pleasant memory. They all tell the story as absolute truth, capital T, truth. And we are left to decide what we believe about what happened. And we're left to decide what we believe happened and how we will respond. The empty tomb is a story of faith, and it cannot be proven the way the cause of death by childbed fever in the 19th century can be. Faith isn't something that can be proven. It is something to be lived. Even when the world feels decidedly un-Easter-like, in times of death and doubt, faith is a seed hidden in the soil. I don't know if you noticed or not, but during the season of Lent, we didn't have our usual fresh flowers up front here. Instead, we had some arrangements on each side of bare branches in clear glass containers. We also had clear containers filled with soil and rocks. And in these containers were bulbs that looked like rocks or something dead, but even though they looked like death, there was life hidden in the soil. Though we haven't seen the bulbs bloom yet, we have seen them sprout. And those bright green sprouts are a sign of the resurrection. For one day, what looked dead will become like the lilies we have before us today. We believe in the resurrection as an act of faith and a sacred memory, not a tale of history. When we live like we believe all of this is true, our lives bear witness to the truth. The empty tomb does sound like nonsense. It sounds as ridiculous as the need for hand washing did to those gentlemen doctors. It sounds as unbelievable as something that looks like a dirt clod sprouting something as beautiful as a lily. Those women didn't know what to make of the empty tomb until they remembered what Jesus himself had taught them. Then they believed and were moved to testify. The promises that God makes sound like nonsense. But what do we know? We know that these ridiculous promises have been kept. We know that they have been kept because we have seen new life come out of death. We know and remember when we have experienced reconciliation, when we were sure the relationship was irreparably broken. We know because we have found ourselves supported by the community of faith when the weight of the world is just too much to bear alone. We know and remember that Christ just keeps showing up in the most unlikely places, reminding us that the promises of God, while they sound like nonsense, are in fact true. When we remember this, we believe, and we should be moved to testify with our lives and with our actions. When we decide what we believe, who we believe, we also have to decide how we will respond. As Peary says, the knowledge of resurrection impels those who believe to walk the pathway of discipleship, to work, to risk, to challenge, to take up the cross, because the Christian knows the cross, no matter how difficult it is to bear, will not triumph over the promises of the God who empties the tomb, the God who rolls away the stone. Once we know this is not all just nonsense, that it is no idle tale, we respond with lives that tell the good news. The good news is that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. I invite you to stand for our next hymn, number 238, and note that we will only sing the refrain on the last verse.